We are back. Tangy Talks 19. All right. Two more to our goal of 21 podcasts, Victor.
Almost there. Happy Friday, Steve. I can't help myself but just kind of move around every time that music comes on and kind of bop my head. I'm like, somebody created that song. It was great. I can't believe it.
Fair, yeah. Producer and DJ of the, what do we call that song? The Seagull song?
It's called Bird Squad. Bird Quad. There you go. That's what I named it.
I like that song. See, we need another Tangy Radio. We got to get that one on there.
Definitely do. Right, happy Friday, Steve. I'm excited. We got a lot of stuff to cover, right? And we had an exciting week.
We had a very exciting week. Just a lot of things to cover here today. But I think we could start with, we did our first like co-produced event, Hospitality Mentor Networking event, powered by Tangy Management. So it was our first event that Tangy helped produce. And man, what a turnout. 130 people of all hospitality backgrounds. So, you know, just to give the listeners a quick recap of what it was a networking event for people in the cruise industry, vacation rental industry, restaurant industry, and hotel industry, because everyone has their own, but we want to get everyone together in the same room. And it was awesome. And Tangy had their banners up. We were running the event. How did it seem to you?
It was a fun night. It was a great, great turnout. You know, we've done, this is the third one, right, that you've done. This one now, like you mentioned, powered by Tangy. So I was really proud on how everything looked. We helped on the social media side. We helped you on a couple of other things. But I think we could keep doing it. And everybody left with a smile on the face. And I think we did what we wanted to establish, right? And it's have people connect from all walks of life in the hospitality industry. And get to know each other. So I love the bingo card. We got to talk about the bingo card. Yeah. Also, people coming up to me like, you're from Tangy Management, right? Let me circle that off. We got that one.
Yeah, what I think is cool is I think we can cover like some basics that some people think is overwhelming, which it can be if you've never done events before. Correct. And some things that even like I told my dad was shocked to hear. So we can kind of set it up. My dad was shocked. He's like, how much did you pay for everything? I said, nothing. It was free. He's like, what do you mean? And so for listeners out here, I want to fill you in on something. If you have a crowd that you can bring to a location, most hotels or restaurants will be happy to host you on their slow days, right? So not on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I always choose a Tuesday or Wednesday to pitch to hotels. And I've done this three times now. I'm saying I'll bring a crowd of these professionals. So usually the people they want in their space and pitch them and say, I will bring them here. I just need a free space to be here. And maybe a welcome drink if you'd be willing to throw that in. And everyone has said yes so far. The previous one gave us a full open bar and food on it just because they wanted people in that room.
Yeah.
But the most recent one was at the beautiful Mayfair House Hotel and Garden, 2 Michelin key hotel. So a big time spot. And they were very gracious. And the GM, Reese, was very nice to come in and hang out with us. But I think that's the first step, right? I think that some people get surprised by that. Is that something that surprised you or anyone you talked to about getting something for free like that?
It's incredible. I mean, you're giving, I think you have you can provide a masterclass on how you've put all these three events. And it is surprising to people. I know this on the back end. We've had this conversation. It is a surprise to people that when we talk, I'm like, yeah, everyone here is on their own dime. You know, they're representing themselves. They're trying to get in front of, you know, the hospitality crowd. So that part, you know, to some people, it's like, wow, you have entertainment, you have, you know, chocolates being passed around, all of this. So you're saying, you know, so it is a surprise to people, but which also, you know, what we've talked about is also important for other people to realize that we don't want to, you know, make it a big hoorah or make it, you know, things that will distract you because it'll kind of lose the point, right? And you're there to really, you know, make that connection to meet other people. So In it itself, it's perfect, you know, how it got done. And I feel like when people see more and more of what we're doing, I think they'll want to jump in, right? And join and make it better every single quarter.
Yeah. And so what's cool about this is, again, I encourage people. It's sometimes a little feels overwhelming, but create your own events because so many times we go to other events and industry conferences to meet people. And we realize like we can make our own event and own conference and invite the people we want to meet and provide them value. And so I usually look at it in three layers, find a good spot central to everything that's easy to park at. That's like my number one rule, but also matches your brand. So whatever you're trying to put off, Second, you need entertainment. So whether it's a DJ or live musician or whatever it might be, you need it. So it's not just like the music playing in the hall or whatever it might be. And then the third is just some 3 to 4 vendors that are interesting, unique to your industry. And the way I pitch them is like, you're going to be in front of 150 people that are decision makers, and let's get the right mix so they're not competing with each other. So exactly. We had different kind of vendors that don't compete with each other, and they all have their chance to mix and mingle with the people in that room.
Exactly.
And our Tangy team was good at promoting it. So good social media, a story of why you should attend, you know, a campaign of putting it out there all the time. And then we tried out ads for the first time on Eventbrite and LinkedIn that seemed to work. So it was great.
Yeah, it was cool seeing, I mentioned it to you during the event that I met a few people, and I would ask them like, oh, how did you hear about this? And they said, yeah, we saw it on Eventbrite. We saw it had good turnout. We saw that there was a lot of participants already. And it was incredible to see like people. There's one person in particular, and I don't know if I told you, but that I met, that she started her own wellness company. So she saw the event on Eventbrite, saw that there was going to be, you know, general managers, directors, and she said, this is a great opportunity for me to get in front of these people. So I thought that was so cool. And I gave her kudos for, you know, kind of stepping in and doing that. So that was awesome to see. And I think I want to add one more thing.
Yeah.
On the note that you mentioned, it's also an event. And we do it all the time, right? We're always trying to go to conferences. We're always looking to see what's the better conferences throughout the year, because we want to be there. And it's just so expensive, right? These two-day, three-day conferences with, you know, the hospitality networking event, you're not breaking the bank. You know, you're not thinking, oh my God, I have to pay $600, $700 to go to this event. And you know, it's you know, right to the point. A lot of people go to these conferences to make these connections, and this is what it's meant for. And it's, you know, again, like I mentioned, it's not breaking the bank. So I think that's a benefit and a plus to that as well.
Yeah, that's great. And look, for us, we made some money that we can now use. We're going to get some new equipment. We're going to do it. So we reinvest that money into building better events. So it's not like a big money making event for us. So some people are like, oh, you made a bunch of money. I was like, technically, yes, but we use that to reinvest to make it a better an event next time, or better programming for what we do. So it's fun, but you're right. I don't want it to be something where you have to like think twice about having to have to spend money. So I keep increasing the price. First one wasn't much at all, because we didn't know how many people. It was like $5, $10. Second event, we got up to 20. This time it started with layers. So we did 30. Then a couple weeks later, it was 35. Then it went to 40. Then it went up to 50 the day of. So if you were last minute, you had to pay 50 to get in there. Just like when a project's selling out, the ticket prices go up. Well, that's how it works. So, but we sold out, which was awesome. But I encourage people. I think the key to this is you can craft the people you want in a room if you put on something that's of value to them. And so I think that's something unique for us to kind of think about. And I know we have some tweaks we want to make. Like, it was the first time we had our Tangy banner. And like, there was tables, but you know, maybe it's not that next time. Maybe not so conferencey. Maybe it's something else that we can do.
Oh, we have the opportunity to, you know, create ideas and make something really different and innovative. I heard from 2-3 people that were there that it's like the best networking event that they've been to. So that tells us a lot. And then awesome. What also tells me a lot is all the familiar faces, people that have been there since
back.
So obviously, you know, it touched them, or you know, they enjoyed it so much that they're gonna continue going to these. So we know we have, you know, our secured group and people that really like this. Maybe we could do something special, or membership. You know, we're creating ideas as we go. So I think that'll be like a cool concept.
Pay a membership and you're in. Lifetime membership.
We'll get lifetime membership.
We'll see, with an NFT or something. I don't know. We'll go. Now we're getting to different layers. But I think it was fun. And the other thing I did, we shrunk it down to 2 hours this time versus 3. Right. And I think that was perfect. 2 hours, you knock it out in there, out of there. Everyone's busy. But that peak hour, it was awesome to look around at that like 7 p.m. time and see everyone in that room. It was pretty cool.
I think that was perfect. And I think we got every layer of hospitality, because we even had, you know, restaurant groups, restaurant owners, really cater to the hospitality field in its own. So trying to see, or trying to think of, you know, as we're speaking, what other industry within hospitality can we reach out?
I wanted some of the yacht people there. I invited some people.
Right.
They came to the first one, my Four Seasons yacht friends, but I couldn't get them to this one. So, but I want to learn more about that industry. I don't have enough knowledge on like the mega yachts. I think that's a cool a cool industry to be in.
I've been on one yacht before. I believe it's the Mayfair, the one next to the Continental. I don't think it was the
Intercontinental. Yeah, it's still there. Mm-hmm.
Still there. I haven't been by there in so long. But yeah, we went to an event there that you invited me to.
There you go.
I went with my wife that they were doing an opening. It was such a fun time. So I don't know much about that industry either, but it's definitely another one that is booming as well.
Yeah. So yacht people, if you're listening, we want you to come on out to the next one. We're gonna do it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The other cool thing is I have destinations reaching out to me. I don't think I told you this. I've had four people reach out from different locations.
Really?
One hotel. Not the one hotel, a hotel, a restaurant group, a convention hall, which is, you know, we'll see about that. Not hating on you guys. And then an event space. So let's see.
And you're saying outside of South Florida or
no, here they want us to come host the next event there. So we already have people that are seeing the success and the people that were there in the pictures because we posted it. And if you want to see, you can go to the hospitalitymentor.com and see all the pictures of people that were there and what the vibe was like.
That's awesome, man. So yeah, we have a lot to think about and so many opportunities and ideas. So yeah, well, hopefully everyone comes again for the next one. And like you said, the yacht people, if you're listening, come on board.
No yacht people, cruise people, come on. We had the restaurant, hotel, vacation rental there. So we need to keep growing it.
There you
go. Talking about different, look at my segue here, professional segue, talking about different industries. We had that event on Wednesday. Last night was Thursday. I got to speak on a panel in front of 50 HR directors and general managers at hotels.
So cool.
And so it was really cool to be there as a former hotelier, now hospitality entrepreneur. They wanted my feedback on both sides of the world. And we talked about a lot of things there, including, you know, like how to retain people in hospitality, how to attract more people into back into hotels specifically. About AI in hotels and how to use it. And so there's a lot of cool topics, but the one that really kind of struck with us is we're hiring a position right now. We're looking for like our right hand and operations to run our company.
Right.
We put out a job with a nice salary, right? So we put out a job, we can say we're not hiding the salary. We put out a job with $70,000 salary. It's posted on our job. And it's a big investment for us in a small company, but we started seeing something interesting. What did we see? That who was starting applying? We don't give names, but what positions were they that you started seeing?
It was incredible. I mean, we, you know, we were obviously looking for hospitality experience, hotel experience preferred. If they had short-term rental vacation experience, also great. I don't think, you know, we were expecting directors, general managers, you know, all of these high-level positions from hotels or from other industries that started applying, which was a great surprise to us. I'm not complaining. But it kind of made you think, right, of why these high level positions were coming into an ops manager position. Again, you know, obviously it's not an entry level position, but it is a position that can grow in itself. So it was surprising to us, and which really kind of made the question, right? And I think that's what you were talking about in the HR event yesterday.
Yeah. So we started seeing director level people willing to take a pay cut just to get out of working in a hotel day to day. And there's something wrong with that. And I even mentioned something. I should not have left hotels right prior to the pandemic. I love my hotel executive job. Excellent. I had work-life balance and I enjoyed going. After, I had to I couldn't see my kids. It was impossible to see anyone. There was no layers. There was no staff. And it led me to burn out to the point where I was like, I got to figure out a new solution. And that's when I came up with starting a company, joining Tangy, right? Creating all the things that we've created together. And so I told them, this is happening more and more. And you got to figure out how to be flexible with the leaders, especially the mid-level managers. Because, yeah, we had some directors that want to work with us because we're building a great brand name and you're out there in the scene and I'm out there. So people see us and are excited about that. But I think we're doing a pretty good job of balancing these schedules for people.
Yeah.
Maybe what are we doing that maybe some people should look at so that we don't burn our team out?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. And, you know, I want to also take it into a little bit about, you know, the hotels and these general managers and directors that I think was after COVID, right? I mean, Steve, you saw it yourself when you were in the hotels and you were wearing many caps, you know, you were taking on security director roles.
Yeah, I had to be a security guard. I had to go back to being a recreation attendant. I remember that hit me hard. Not to cut you off, it hit me. I was like, man, I started my career here 25 years ago as a pool attendant, and today I have to fill in because there's no staff. That was extreme. That was like in the heart of
pandemic time. right. And there was, you know, really tough times with, like, you know, labor shortages and people not coming back to work as needed. And that kind of, like you mentioned, that really, you know, caused for people to burn out and think about their options a little bit more. And again, you know, we've discussed it here that we have a family, you have a family, I have just had my 1-year-old son, and we value that work-life balance. You know, we talk about it all the time that it's so important to, you know, be able to travel and come back refreshed to be able to spend that time with your family. So we've been able to create a hybrid model for this position in itself, which we expect 50% to be on the floor and then another 50% to be hybrid, you know, working from home or working from one of the properties we manage, however that person feels comfortable. But we want to ensure those 2-day, you know, those 2 days of time off. Us in the hotels, you know, I'm sure you sometimes work 7 days straight. Sometimes I remember I got to 14 days straight without
one. Yeah, my longest stretch was 28 days in a row.
28 days.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a record, but that might be.
No, it's just crazy. At the time, you're like, yeah, I did it, like a badge of honor. And now I look back, I'm like, man, I gave so much to a company that didn't give me too much back.
And it's so much sacrifice, you know. And I myself personally, when I started in the hospitality field, my goal was to be a general manager of a hotel. And I'm sure it was for you as well. But then looking inside, you know, from within, I saw our general manager at the hotel that we were working in coming in at 6 a.m, leaving at 8-9 p.m. And I was like, you know, that person had a family, kids as well. And I'm like, is that the life, like, you know, that we want to continue leading and not really be there with the family? You know, not a knock to anybody that is currently, you know, a general manager or director. And
no, they acknowledge it, especially last night. My eyes were open. They all know.
It's so hard, right? I mean, we've seen it, and they put in so much time, and it's so much hard work, and I respect it. But, you know, now more than ever, especially now with, you know, having my first son, I see it. It's work-life balance is so important, because if you burn yourself out, you know, you're not giving your best effort. You're not giving your best ideas. You're not working in the best capacity. Some people might see that outside in and saying, oh, you know, what's wrong, you know, with Victor? Why is he, you know, look like that? Or why is he, you know, down? Is something wrong? And it starts making things up in that person's mind. So being fresh, you know, having that, the clarity breaks that we discuss so much about, and having that once, twice a week, being able to be with your family, taking walks. You know, I just came from Italy, where I mentioned to you that everybody there is walk. So they have their lunch and then they go for a walk. Being out in the sun, it's so, so important. And you don't get that time. Well, sometimes when you're in the hotel and you're in your office and you're grinding it out. So it's tough.
I think about being outside. Maybe that's why I like working pool and beach the most. I was outdoors, walking around.
Vitamin D, man.
That's good probably for you. What it was. I said, if I could go back to the hotel, maybe I'd just run the pool decks. I enjoyed that part of my career. But it's true. I was one step away. So I was probably the closest. I wrote it down every day. I was in mega resorts, one step away from being a GM. And I would be a GM now if I was still working in hotels of one of these places, and it just switch flipped and I wanted to go do it for myself. 100%. And I'm lucky to have it with you and get to do some fun things and that do a lot of cool things. So
yeah,
we continue on, but something I learned, which I'm going to find out more about, and I want to see if we can figure it out for ourselves, our company. Cause I talked about a couple things there. Like one is micro promotions. Cause a lot of young people coming up, they want to move up fast, and right. It's not like how, you know, I just said I worked 28 days in a row and worked every holiday and every weekend, doesn't fly anymore. Is getting people moving up quickly, changing titles, give like little bonuses or promotions as they go through the year to keep people engaged. And then Peter Ricci, who's the director of hospitality for FAU Hotel School, so Florida Atlantic University, said that the Ritz-Carlton and Amelia Island, the GM, took the chance after all the pushback, and he created a 3-day work week, a 4-day work week, and a 5-day work week. And people can choose what schedule they want to be on. They get paid based off of that, but you have to show up on that 3-day work week or 4-day work week or 5-day work week. So they've hired people based off of that. And so he's going to send me a bunch more information on how they executed it. I'm going to try and meet the GM of Amelia Island, Ritz-Carlton, because they're doing it to great success and they're still winning awards. And so it just shows you have to take that risk. That GM took the risk of getting potentially fired if it didn't go well.
Right.
But it's working. And so incredible. I'm going to find out. I wrote to Peter Ricci this morning to see what it is, if I can find out more, because mentioned it and a bunch of eyes rolled in the room I saw. And even one of the GMs that was on the panel was like, that's, you know, I give them a flexible work week of 5 days, 6 days, or 7 days. Right. And that was like, boo, people started to boo in the room. So,
and then
old school versus new school.
That's what I was going to say. And, that, and probably the reason why we're even discussing right now, right, is because of that mentality. So, you know, that's so cool. First time I'm hearing that.
Yeah, me too. I like it.
I know I've heard from other companies, other startups, that they've done like 4 day week, and other, you know, in European countries as well, they do a lot of those benefits, and they're sometimes they show their percentages and show that the people are sometimes even more efficient.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Like, look, if I was starting out again, like let's say I had to leave the hotel.
Right.
Again, I was going back 3 years, maybe 3 years, crazy. And they said, Steve, look, stay on for 3 days a week while you go build your business.
Right.
I might do that just to have like some benefits and have a steady job and take the other 4 days to build up. So I think that it's good. Like, you know, I have another podcast with Sarah Dandashi, and that's how she started. She started getting popular. She went to a 4-star hotel, left her 5-star, said, look, I just want to work 4 days a week. And they said, yes. And so she could build up her side business while she was doing that. And it worked. So I'm excited to see if I can get some more info and share.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Do you know specific details of that hotel that is offering that? Do you know if it's like they work, if they choose the option of three days? Do you know if it's like an extended period?
I'm going to find out. I think it's just like you're a three-day employee, like a part-timer, right? Gotcha. And so it's the Ritz-Carlton Amelia Island. So I need to go see what else they're doing.
Yeah,
I'm going to find out.
I'm thinking of like nurses' schedules and some doctors that they'll work 3 days straight, but they're on for like 18, you know, 16 hours.
No, I don't think they're working 40 hours in that. I think it's just like 8 hours a day, 3 days a week, and they move on. So you need more people,
right?
To cover, but if they're all happy, they said retention is good, everyone's good, like
super cool.
I like it. Yeah. I think it's very cool. So let's see where that continues to evolve in. But I was happy to see that they invited me, and I mentioned Tangy and how we're doing potentially taking their employees from the hotels over to us. So. Uh-oh. They were interested in that, hearing more about it. So, all right, vacation rental business. We were talking a little bit backstage. We've had a big meeting this week. So our company runs off of the EOS system, the Entrepreneur Operating System. And we've got Isabel Porzakansky, who is the person who implemented it for us. So if you need someone to help you with it, we'll give Isabel a shout out here. So at Isabel People Traction, she's excellent. But we go into a lot of deep talks when we go to these full day sessions with her. And we are starting to realize that, you know, vacation rental business, first off, is hard anyway. It's a hard business to be in. And we have a great model that we like, where we've been doing it since the beginning of having vacation rental management, where we take a percentage of the nightly rent. And that's how we make our money.
Right.
There is other business model where it's called the lease arbitrage, right? The arbitrage model of Airbnb. You saw everyone on TikTok talking about for a year. Now, not many people at all talk about it, where you would lease a bunch of places and then re-rent them out. So you had the lease that you had to cover every month, even if you didn't make money. So you had a potential to lose money. And there's people who buy the properties. So they have the ownership. It's an asset of the property. And take on the risk of having to cover the mortgage, but you have that long-term rent you can go to, or you can go to short-term rent, and you have more control of the property. Those are like the three ways to be in this business, right? And so what I've seen, I'm curious what you've seen, is, you know, we used to work with me. I used to have a staffing company, and at one point there weren't many staffing companies, and you could charge a good number, and you can make some good money. And then all of a sudden, all these staffing companies started to pop up and undercut and do things illegally, but you know, hotels saw it as, well, they're cheaper than you, I'm going to go with the cheaper option. And so it was a race to the bottom
right,
of who was cheapest that could do this. And now Airbnb is offering co-hosting very easily. So you can become co-hosts very easily for much cheaper rates than we charge, right, for a premier product. And so we see these flags coming up, some of these warning signs. And so we're looking maybe to invest in a property now of our own. Which we've been doing a lot of due diligence and research and looking for the right markets, which we're not going to share the market yet because we don't want those home prices to start shooting up. But I think we found a good area. So tell you this because we're looking to potentially pivot away from only doing the management of other people's properties. Why? What would you share with people? Why would we be doing this?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's a great topic, and I'm happy that we're discussing it. And we shared a little bit on our last podcast on Monday, speaking about, you know, us being undercut by another management company. To your point,
oh yeah, that's right.
You have the staffing company, and you know, we were in the mix of potentially getting a contract, but then the, you know, the cheaper option would always be the one to go out and win. And to us, you know, we like see these management companies at 10%, some, you know, even as low as 5%. And we just don't understand, you know, because us at 20%, our margins are not, you know, through the roof and are crazy. So
slim,
to me, yeah. It's very slim. To me, it's like, how can they survive? So we started kind of, you know, diving in and going into a little bit more of how that works. And we're seeing, you know, that, yeah, you are going to be, you know, being charged 10% for the nightly rate. But then there's going to be a lot of fees associated. Let's say just, you know, a person gets locked out. It's after hours. You have to be sent. You're going to see that as a line item in your invoice at the end of the month. So you could be paying 10% upfront, but at the end of the month, you may see yourself 25, 30, 40%, even higher. And I feel those people or those companies may not have the resources, you know, that a company like ours, that we, you know, we keep our margins, you know, really tight. And we're able to offer just so much more, and just being able to have those softwares and have those systems in place that do cost us money, but we know how important they are, right? Yeah. I think that's important, and us being able to shift, like you mentioned, you know, not just going in for short-term rental, because right now, like we mentioned, you know, we manage 45 properties, and those properties all have individual owners with individual requirements, individual personalities, individual taste. And it's hard to manage, you know, when we're trying to standardize our processes and our systems as much as possible, because it is tough. You know, all of the properties that we manage are all different. So, you know, we want to control our own destiny. And I think that's what we continue saying. You know, if it's us investing ourselves, if it's us investing in a partnership, managing a boutique hotel, 30, 40 units or more, if it's us, you know, developing a project of our own. So we're shifting that mindset, and it's so cool to see how we're doing it here internally, and it's happened gradually as we're seeing, you know, the signs. Mm-hmm. So this, I guess, is an excerpt for other companies to kind of see it that way and open their eyes and being open and being able to see the horizon. So I think I covered most of it, right?
Yeah, I think you covered it. And I think you mentioned something that I want people to realize. If you see the cheaper rate, it's not always the cheapest price. And what I mean by that, you covered it, is we saw one company that we know will charge a lower rate up front, but then there is if you have a grill, a fee to clean the grill. If they need to come out and fix the toilet, there's a fee to come out and fix the toilet. If they need to change the AC because something happened there, they're going to charge you a percentage on top of the person that they've organized. You need a lawn care, they're going to charge a percentage on top of the lawn care. You need a pool guy, they're going to charge a percentage on top of the pool guy. And so all of a sudden, they're actually more expensive than us. So we actually did the math, and it's hard to prove to people. They just see that number on the contract.
Right.
Right. And so for anyone getting involved with the management company, just realize if it's too good to be true, it usually is. Maybe there's some outliers where somebody just wants to co-host a house and get some extra income, and they're taking care of one studio or one bedroom. But if you're taking care of homes and multiple properties, just be very careful on it, because it's different. If you have a hotel, it's one thing. Like, hotel management fees is different usually, right? It's usually like 6% at the top. Then there's like a deal at the bottom to be made of the net income. So hotels and vacation rentals are different, but vacation rentals are spread out everywhere. It's not like a hotel. It's all in one place, and all the labor can be used for the same property. You have to have multiple housekeepers, multiple handymen, multiple people answering the calls, because that's how it works. So that's our warning to you. But we are now looking to take control of our own destiny. I think that's our theme for the rest of the year, is control our own destiny, because we have, you know, we see some warning signs in the markets that we just want to make sure we get on.
I agree. Yeah. And then to add to that point, Steve, it's another kind of note popped up into my head, is also specifically on the management companies that are charging such a lower amount. Think about also, you know, those fees that they're going to be tackling on, but now think about the fees that they're going to be tackling on to the guest. And we've talked about it. I've stayed in short-term rentals that, you know, the use of the grill is, you know, $150, $200. the use of the pool, especially if there's a water heater, it's like $200-something a night, to request extra towels, to, you know, if you, it's just so many fees that are, you know, basically added on to all of, you know, these properties. And you got to think about the guest experience, right? It's like, hey, I rented this house. It's not cheap. It's $300, $400 a night. And now I want to come here and use something that you're publishing on, you know, Airbnb or wherever, booking channel. And now I have to pay a cost or pay a price to be able to use what I already thought was offered within my, you know, nightly rate. So that's also something to think about. Not only, you know, the what they're going to tag on to you as the owner, but also to the guests themselves to be able to cover that, you know, short or that small rate that they're going to be charging. So
that's my last little. No, I think it's a great point, and I'm happy that we shared this. I like sharing a lot of the behind-the-scenes things. We didn't cover news today. It was more of like what's going on in our world, and I think you see value in that because we've got heard that and seen that in the views. Like, we'll do different posts, and we see which ones get more views than others, and we understand what you're looking at. But if there's something you want us to cover, always feel free to write to us at tangymgmt.com. I got an email yesterday, I forgot to tell you this, of the first guest that wants to come on the show. So maybe we'll start taking some guests that want to come on. I'll send you the email so you can see. So if you want to come on the show, let's test it out. Come on. We'll talk to you and see what you've got working on in this world of short-term rental, vacation rental, or hospitality. And we'll talk to you. But we cover a lot today. So events, how to put on events without spending too much money. We've got hotel leaders looking for work-life balance and hopping out of hotels. And hopefully we get a great hire here in the next week. That we decided to bring in from hotels, and then all the different types of vacation rental business. So if this helps you or anyone that you think might be getting into the industry, please share this with them. It takes 2 seconds to forward over the episode, and we're happy to help as many people as we can. And as always, make sure to like and subscribe, and we will see you next week. Right, Victor?
Yes, we will.
Have a great day, everybody.